Thank you for joining us. It's time now for the Tuesday talk show here on KAJO Radio. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. But if you want to jot that phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question and or comment to our guest. Our guest today is the former Josephine County Director of Public Works, Rob Brandes. Rob, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio.
Hey, Chuck. How are you doing?
I'm not doing bad, and you?
It's been an interesting 3 or 4 months.
I'll bet it has. Rob, you really contacted us and said you had a story to tell, and it's a story that a lot of people have been interested to hear, so let's get on with that story. And where does the story really begin?
Sure. And to your point, Chuck, yeah, a lot of folks have reached out. I don't like to typically put myself out into public like this, but it's an important story to tell. I listened to Goodwin's interview again last night, and he had an important story to tell. So that's a lot of the reason why I'm here. And before I go any further, too, I just want to compliment you and the station for your stance on not letting someone else run this show. I think that's an important bit of journalistic integrity. You've been a voice of reason in this valley for a long time, and I think you guys taking the stance you did with the board not interviewing themselves was critical to independent journalism. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm not paying you any money.
So, yeah, I think this really, when it started to go off the rails in my perception, was last summer, and kind of the first moment where we, speaking of the department head and the county as a whole, started looking to say, you know, what's going on here, was in the fall, late summer, early fall, talk of mergers started to appear. And the first
big one, we're talking about the Josephine County
department mergers. And the first big one to be talked about was finance and HR, which should be an immediate red flag for anybody. These are two kind of checks and balances of each other frequently. So the first thing we're proposing is to merge these two. And the fact that they merged HR under finance at the time was bizarre to me, too, because of the internal service departments. There's a bunch the county has, like six. HR was the best run, according to an actual internal survey that was put out of all the county folks. They were the best run. Finance at the time was the least run. Finance is operating far more effectively now.
Let's do one thing here.
Sure.
You said they. Who is they?
They in that case, so they put out the internal service fund department, so it's legal, finance, IT, the commissioners, and human resources, county fleet, and the building department. We put out a survey to say, hey,
and this
how
was
are
in the
doing?
Fall of 2024.
This was in probably summer at that point.
Okay.
But surveyed all the employees and said, hey, which of these departments are performing, which aren't, as a way to kind of steer them and help them do better. The results came back. HR was the highest performing. And this is, keep in mind, after J.J. Schofield, the previous HR director, had left, brand new person in there, Michelle, had done a fantastic bang-up job. She had some tough challenges, did a great job. And the board made the decision to slot them under finance, which at the time, finance was the lowest scoring department on this internal service fund survey of county departments. So that was odd to me to begin with. About that same time, too, Sandy Novak came to the department heads and inferred that the board was going to be making note of which department heads were in attendance at meetings if they didn't have items on the agenda. The implication being, hey, why are you really here? So that to me was the first real red flag that said, that why are they nervous about us watching and trying to help them do their jobs, coach them along? Maybe that's because we're the deep state or some nonsense. I don't know.
Are you the deep state?
Oh, my goodness. It's such a tired term. I was honestly shocked. It's such a lazy term to try to apply to us. This is a small community. Everybody knows me. They know Jim Goodwin. They know the other folks that were let go. You can come see us at a basketball game, at the growers market, whatever. Calling us deep state is laughably weak. And quite frankly, it's not. If we're the ones not doing the firing with any power or anything else, it makes it harder for us to be the deep state. So every accusation is a confession in my book. About that same time then, there was a real push to have GPS units put on the cars and looking at the motor pool, which is fine. Those are both under my purview. But we started noticing a pattern of meetings not being alerted to the departments in question. Typically, I would put something on the agenda or a commissioner would call me and say, hey, we want to look at the fleet. Can we get it on there? We want to look at public works. Can we get it on there? We started seeing this pattern of things pertinent to our departments that weren't being fed back to us. So we just have to check the agenda and hope you saw it and then come in flat foot and try to guess as to what they were getting to. The other third big piece that was happening about now was a policy review committee. And that was set up by the commissioners. They wanted to take a look at, you know, county administrative policies. That some of those date back to the mid-90s, early 90s. A good idea.
Now, when you're saying commissioners, remember, this is 2020. I just want to make sure that people realize this is 2024, and this was a different board initially.
That would have been Black West Bearchigger at that point.
Yep. Right,
yep.
Okay.
This is shortly after Commissioner DeYoung left. Yep. And so this committee was presumably, you know, to take a look at these policies. Can we collate them into something more usable for everyone? County legal led the charge on that. Department heads were going to give input. And so that process kicked off in late August with like weekly meetings where we'd tackle through it. You know, it was probably 300 pages of material. So this was a big lift. So that's moving along. Come late October, during a discussion about the policy review, as we're moving it forward to the board, the board said there's not going to be any more input from the department heads after, I believe it was like Halloween, right around then. So that's fine. We played ball and did that. We turned in our last review to them. And somewhere along the way, that was it. It disappeared. We had no more input. But by the time those policies were rolled out at the very end of the year, there had been substantive changes, which, again, the board legally has the purview to do that under the charter. But it just seems an odd stance to me that you wouldn't send that back to your risk management, to your legal department, to the department heads to say, what's the impact of us changing this language here, this language there? And it kept coming back to the argument was, well, because the board has the ultimate authority. And they've used that in hiring decisions, a lot of other areas. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. Why would you not come seek the counsel of folks that have been in the county, have understood why certain protocols and rules are in place? So we forward to the end of the year. The recall had finalized. Mr. West was recalled. And the two new board members are set. And I was in the meeting then that first week of January where they're selecting a replacement. And if you'll remember, that was Bearchigger was interviewed and Black was interviewed. That meeting was done and Bearchigger's heel was literally still in the door as he's walking out after doing. And, you know, I don't see eye to eye with Herman on everything, but, you know, he's done the job a long time. Mm-hmm. I get along with him, work with him fine. The door is not even closed. And Smith turns to Barnett and says, well, I'm ready to make a motion. And Barnett says, well, hold on, let's talk about this. They proceed to talk for 30 seconds and appoint Andreas Black. Now, either they're not curious, not serious about this job in front of them at all, or they already pre-made up their minds. I don't see any other window. For a decision of that magnitude, to make it in a matter of 15 seconds is absolutely mind-blowing to me. It's not the first time we've seen that. Those of us that watch these meetings, have gone to these meetings, it's very apparent when there's been a predetermined outcome, whether it was formally discussed behind closed doors, we'll never know. It's either that, though, or it's, a lack of interest to not dig deeper and to say, do we need to make this decision? And if so, how and why? About this same time was when the reorganization chart rolled out, and that was when it was going to basically squish, I think it was 10 departments down into 3. And at the meeting where that was rolled out, Mr. Black pulled it out. Mr. Bearchigger very quickly said, hold on, this looks a lot like a county manager to me. Commissioner West seemed a bit on the fence, but I truly believe that Mr. Black would have voted on it right there to fire 6 or 8 department heads on the spot with no discussion with anybody else. These are big swings. They need some kind of a formal airing out with a public process, everything else, and ultimately, too, part of the budgetary process. That's why we do a budget. If you budget a position for a year and you get rid of it mid-year, there needs to be some discussion, a rationale as to why you did that and landed where you did. It's interesting to note that there was going to be a public services director on that org chart, and the 3 departments under it were going to be Public Works, my former department, Public Health, Mike Weber's former department, and Community Development, Mark Stevenson. The 3 department heads who were fired. Maybe a coincidence, maybe not. I thought that was curious. And then there was going to be an operations director over like the remaining 5 or 6. Somewhere in this discussion, there was a number cited of like $1.2 million in savings, and I suspect they just took full salary and benefits of the 8 positions they were getting rid of or whatever that else. As it's kind of getting off into the weeds, Novak rushes up to the table, and she's got a sheet showing the fully burdened salaries of all the department heads and says, oh, here it is. And query, I mean, so it's obviously they've come up this number. This didn't come out of thin air. So where was it talked about? Maybe it was executive session, but there was no discussion with anyone beyond that handful of folks that was there. And these are big positions within a county structure that need some kind of debate, discussion as to are we reorganizing it? Are we moving this around? How is this happening? Going forward then, that proposal was squelched ultimately, at least put on hold. And it came back to the other big piece that was out there was the admin rules. They were ultimately adopted at the end of the year with a ton of changes. All of the changes seem to consolidate more power within the board and with the chair. And again, if the charter says they can do that, but it just seems an odd stance to take to not verbalize that, to share that as broadly and widely as you could to get a, you know, to get a larger buy-in. So that kind of gets us up to almost present day. April 1st, April Fools, as we called it, the night of the long knives. My phone started blowing up early that morning with a couple calls. Weber and Stevenson both were kind of reaching out to a few folks and said, hey, anybody get a last minute meeting scheduled with Black? No. We all know what that probably means. And I mean, who schedules a meeting at 9 o'clock when it's 8:15 in the morning? So we're all kind of presuming what's going to happen here, not knowing exactly what though. Weber and Stevenson are let go pretty early that morning. They're moving their way down the chain to talk to various department heads. A couple others heard, okay, nope, I guess you're okay. I'm still sitting there wondering what's going to become of me. Early afternoon, Mr. Black comes out to see me on my scheduled time, looks me dead in the eye, and he says, hey, we're all good here. No changes to Public Works. And, okay, so this is April 1st. April 18th. Good Friday, also an ironic day. Yeah. I had an item on agenda for a business session on a Friday. And after the meeting, Black catches me and says, hey, can you come to my office for a minute? Okay, sure. Thought nothing of it. We walk in.
Can I ask what that item was you had on the agenda?
I think I was asking for a grant request for Fish Hatchery Bridge, which is also ironic that you'd mention. This was me asking the board for permission to submit for a grant. The county would pay about $400,000 to replace a $4 million bridge. They said, no, think about the optics. The optics, when you lay that against what's happened the last 5 months, is laughable. I don't know if we would have gotten that grant, but that sounds like the state paying 90% of a project to me, and a really expensive project at that. So I say, sure, I'll follow you over. He closes the door behind me, and it was apparent, you know, I said, no, I guess we're really doing this. We sit down. He slides a paper across the table. He says, I need you to read that. I said, I don't need to read that. I know what it is. My take is he was very clearly relishing this situation, not just the fact that he was removing me, but the sense of power, the ability to strike a chord with me. After 29 years, this isn't my first rodeo. I've dealt with really good commissioners, really bad commissioners. But I did resent the way that it was presented. I said to him, you know, this is a big decision. Can I talk to my wife? This is kind of a career-changing decision. And he hesitates, noncommittal. I said, I'm assuming I can't talk to an attorney. Nope. I said, well, what if I just don't sign this? Are you going to then try to shove it in my hand like a process server? He said, well, no, let's not have it come to that. He said, but if you don't sign it, we have to go this route. And he pats a manila folder on the other side of his desk.
Now, what was the document in front of you?
The document there was an offer of separation, effectively. It was telling me that, you know, the boilerplate was, you're on 45 days of admin leave. That's done so that I would not potentially be able to sue the county. There's actually an Older Workers Protection Act. If you're over 40, you're an older worker. And that was how they would get around that, the 45 days. If I accepted their offer of separation, they were going to pay me out 200 hours of admin time, if you will. But I was obviously signing away any legal right to future action against them. So I signed off the memo that basically just said, yep, I'm taking this. I will go back home and look it over and evaluate. As we're finishing up, I said to Black, you know, the sad part of this is I would have my 30 years in for my PERS pension at the end of September. I would have signed a letter of resignation effective September 30th had you come and asked. I would have still been ticked, but that allows 4 or 5 months for me to put protocols in place to help the folks at my department bridge this gap, to have some cheat sheets, if you will, to say, hey, here's big stuff coming up. Where can we farm this out so everything doesn't fall between the cracks? So I say, you know, I would have signed this letter. I only had 5 months left. He looks at me and he says, we knew. And number one, who is we? A very odd thing to say. And number two, I said, well, I'm not sure how you would know, because the only person who knew that I was contemplating, or that September 30th could be my last day, was my wife. And I'm dang sure that she didn't call you and tell you. Okay, well, we knew. And it just kind of off into the ether. So fine. I take off. I go to lunch. I'm steamed, you know, calling my wife and kind of saying, oh, here it is. We kind of knew it was coming and today is the day. So Black calls me back about an hour and a half later and he says something along the lines of, hey, we might have a way to help you get to your 30 years. Okay. I'm listening. He says, well, come on by after lunch or whatever and we'll talk about it. So I go back and he says, I would propose us letting you burn your PTO for the next 5 months to get to September 30th. And I've been here forever. I had a ton of PTO built up. I don't use it. You know, I take a few vacations. Thankfully I've been healthy. So I got hours. I could have got there. I said, okay, well, you know, I'll contemplate that, but I do need to find, I got to go look at my PERS timeline. I got to put a lot of things in place. I'm just buying time at this point, honestly. And I said, I need to double check too what my actual PERS deadline is, which month. I want to make sure that I don't cut myself short, end up a month short of, you know, getting to my 30. And he says, well, let's just call it the end of the year to be safe. And I said, well, I definitely don't want to burn my hours to get to the end of the year. And he says, no, we'll put you back on paid admin leave for those last couple of months. So now he's negotiating against himself. And I don't know if he's just working that hard to not ruffle the waters. But I mean, literally he's offering to sideline me for an extra 2 months, 3 months on the county's nickel. Not the way I would run a business, but
to pay you to not work
effectively. Yep.
For 6 or 7 months.
Yep. So I would burn my own time for 4 or 5 months to get to wherever my 30 years was. The county would then sideline me for another 2 or 3 months just to be sure. I think at that point he's trying to buy favor. And I said, okay, well, I'll think about that. So I go home. We talk it over, my wife and I, and I let it stew for a couple days. I go back in, and he's drafted up about a two paragraph, super quick and dirty summary of what we talked about. I take a look, and I say, you know, there's no signature lines on this. There's no date. There's no nothing. This is not even remotely binding. So I take it. Week or two later, I go back in and I propose some changes just to tighten this thing down a bit. And he says, well, you know what? The board has taken back that power they gave him initially. So now it's back to all three. He says, any changes are going to have to run through all three commissioners. So I just let it lie. And ultimately, he's also asking me to take the word of a guy who said, April 1st, you're all good, no changes in public works, and fired me less than 3 weeks later. So I'm supposed to trust him to honor an unsigned, undated agreement valid for the next 6, 8, 9 months. Didn't seem like a wise choice to me. I run up against the end of the 45 days that I was on the paid admin leave. Nothing changes. I could still log in to see, you know, what my time says, and there's nothing. It doesn't say paid admin, doesn't say PTO, nothing else. I get a text from an email from the gal that does our payroll at Public Works, and she says, hey, what do you want to do? And down below, finance is asking Bleck, so what's going on with Brandis? Is he on PTO or paid admin leave or what? And he says PTO. And I texted back immediately, I emailed back, and I said, I'm not burning my PTO. Hour later, comes back, put him back on paid admin. So I'm back on paid admin for another about 3 weeks, bringing us up to July 8th, which was then my final day, check cashed, and here I am talking to you.
All right. This is a good chance to me pay my bills. We'll be right back with more with Rob Brandis. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show. Once again, after the top of the hour news, we'll take your phone calls, 541-472-1270, and you can ask our guest or make a comment to Rob Brandis here. We're talking about what has happened with well, it's a big news story. It's been going on for months and months and months about the county commissioners and what's been going on. Is there a reason that they went through this process? Did they give any particular reason? Is it for more efficiency? Is it a financial situation? So we've had people, Jim Goodman said right there and said the finances in the county are as good as they've been for years.
Mm-hmm.
So did they give you any reason for this? Is it just efficiency or were people actually targeted?
On the face of it, they will say efficiency and larger budgetary concerns, but I believe wholeheartedly that this is about getting rid of institutional knowledge, folks that have been around long enough to say, hey, hold on, that's not the appropriate way to do that, which I guess they would call the deep state. But there's those of us that have been around that long, Goodwin and I, you know, we had probably 50-plus years between us. There's guardrails in there for a place, and we've been through far, far, far tougher financial years than we're talking about right now. I specifically asked Black, as he said, hey, you know, here's your incoming resignation. I said, well, obviously this isn't for cause. I've got 28 years of great evaluation sitting over there. No. He says, well, it's about the budget. I said, well, that's odd because our budget for public works is state highway fund money. It is within.
No general fund money coming for your department.
And within a couple hundred thousand dollars year to year, it's right around $9.5 million, right as rain. I said, you know, we've got the same 61 FTEs budgeted for next year. We're chip sealing the same 30 miles. I know that budget better than anybody. It's not changing. Well, we just have to look at the larger budgetary concerns of the county, which again is nonsense. To your point, these are dedicated funds we're talking about. The bigger budgetary concerns of the county has nothing to do with public works. So the budgetary and efficiency that's been kind of used to gloss over a lot of issues, I think a lot of it's trying to follow the federal playbook, the voluntary resignation that got all the attention a few months back. That was, what, $700,000 or $800,000 they paid effectively to make 20-ish employees go away. I got curious. I looked at that document. I Googled some chunks of it. It was full paragraphs cut and pasted from the federal DOGE resignation that went out. Literally full paragraphs copied and pasted. This was just a completely ham-fisted attempt to federalize local government. But that's not how local budget law and state budget law works. Public works specifically has carryover funds, so it's not like we're in a use-it-or-lose-it situation. We have reserves specifically for weathering the storms, literally and figuratively. But I think that – I don't know if it was just a matter of that was the cudgel that we could get to where we want – the board could get to where they wanted to get to, or if they truly believe that. I don't know. The threat of we don't know what's happening with federal funds keeps getting tossed out there. But to Mr. Goodwin's point at last week's business session, but now we're suddenly sure that $3 million of federal aviation money is coming in, but maybe we don't know about all these other smaller federal pools.
Yeah, right.
I can't resolve those two things in my mind easily.
All right. Well, in your mind, were there any underlying reasons other than efficiency and overall budget concerns? Were there a reason that all these department heads were targeted?
I think that Weber and Stevenson had butted heads with the board on some other things. I think that was justification that board at the time used on the two of them, it felt like. Jim and I don't see any reason other than, again, institutional knowledge. You could see a trend with this board once they were sat that there was really an aspect that they did not like being, I don't want to say talked back to, but trying to reasoned with. And the department heads, to a person, treat them with kid gloves. We would hear absolutely inane suggestions from that side of the table, and it's trying to gently walk them back to saying, well, hold on, we can't do that you're proposing. You know, more recently, right before the end there, I spent, I don't know how many hours talking to Chris Barnett about rebadging all the county vehicles. For some reason, that was the most important thing we had to do in the entire county. I guess the big stuff was done. We're down to that. And he kept saying, well, I don't know why this wasn't done 5 years ago. Well, because the board 5 years ago heard me tell them, hey, that's going to cost a lot of dang money. I don't know if we want to do that. He pushed forward, ultimately wanted to do it. And so I found him a test one to say, hey, go try it out. He marched right out, slapped it over the old county decal. The old one stuck out below, as we said it would. Didn't even bother to wash the car, put the decal on crooked. But that's how we got things done, and that's how we improved the county image. Anybody that tried to push back on these sorts of things, yeah, I believe was targeted. And in this case, it was, yeah, Jim Goodwin and I.
Is there any indication of malfeasance?
I can't prove anything, and I would not cast that aspersion. All I would do is go back to like the examples with the reappointment of Mr. Bleck and some other huge decision to where they were arrived at so quickly at the table. Either they were discussed beforehand or these are the least curious people you could have in office right now. These are discussions that should be taking hours, if not over the course of several meetings, and just snap decisions in a matter of 20 or 30 seconds. The decision to give all the personnel power to Mr. Bleck there for 2 months or whatever it was. If you go back and watch that tape, he says, I just think it'd be easier to avoid the, quote, rigmarole of the board having to make personnel decisions if you just put all that power within me. Bleck and Smith barely shrugged and said, okay.
So two elected commissioners abdicated their authority to an unelected commissioner who had been appointed and doesn't receive one vote.
Yeah, with legitimately less than 1 minute of discussion.
All right, there's more to come, folks. So we want to take a little break here, take a little breather here, because I've got some commercials to play and news to get to. But we'll invite your phone calls right after the top of the hour news. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call if you have a question or comment for our guest today is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to our guest today. Is Rob Brandis, the former director of the Josephine County Public Works Department here. And, of course, we've been talking about what's been going on with the county in terms of the realignment of county offices and the dismissing of many department heads that have years and years of service here. And, Rob, where does the story go from here right now?
I think we're coming to an inflection point. I'm hopeful that at least the terminations that have happened the last couple months have raised the community interest. I know they have. Before I was let go, I would routinely have my folks coming up to me saying, hey, my wife and I, my husband and I were listening or watching WBS last night over dinner. And I said, well, number one, that's crazy. You're sitting there watching. But no, the fact that you've got just everybody across the county watching these meetings to see what's going on and getting a better sense. And I'm hopeful that's reflective of the broader community. There's been a lot of discussion in the last 3 months. Folks, quite frankly, just need to do their homework a bit to say, all right, who am I actually voting for? Why does that person want to be commissioner so badly too? Anybody that's putting up that many signs for commissioner, it should be an immediate red flag to say, man, okay, hold on. Let's have an actual debate to see what this person, what their beliefs are, what their bigger take is on county government.
All right. We do have a phone call standing by right now. Good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guests.
I do, Chuck. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brandis. You're doing a great job bringing awareness to this. I'll go by Joe today, but I am a former and current deep state Josephine County individual. So a lot of mystery there. I'd just like to point out, you know, trying to get this out to people because we feel like so few folks tune into the weekly business sessions. And even at those, you get limited information because the current complexion of the board limits that. They really do. But a point that I just like to make here to help kind of drive Rob's point home a little bit. If his situation specifically, a department fully funded by state dollars taking zero Josephine County general fund money, if the statement is made by the chair of the board that this is a budgetary reason, they are either completely ignorant to how funding works in county government or they're lying about it. Now, either one of those in my economy is a terrible red flag for leadership in county government. We're seeing it over and over and over again, and I just my call today is just for folks that are listening to KJO. There's some loyal listeners. Please get the word out there. Folks need to know. If we could get a lot of folks at Ambassador at weekly business sessions to really pay attention and get educated, I think this will go a long way.
All right. Rob, any comment or?
Fellow class of 88 alumni. Love to hear from them.
How do you know that?
Absolutely right. We've bemoaned the fact for years that at the county budget meetings, there will be one or two or three people there. And, you know, the county is $150 million enterprise. And the fact that there aren't more than a handful of folks that take an interest on those couple days, and it's not the most exciting thing ever, but that's a big deal. And yet, when it comes time for the week in and week out, you'll have folks coming to business session losing their mind over $500 or $1,000 penny ante stuff. It really needs to be a bigger holistic approach. To Jim's point, that you know, there needs to be more.
That's Joe.
Yeah, right, Joe.
Joe.
Sorry, yes, Joe. there needs to be far more community involvement, and that goes all the way down to the grassroots. I would love to have more people attend those meetings. I loved when citizens would come to me and say, hey, why does Public Works do such and such? How much did it actually cost to do that? I relish that stuff because I want to know if there's things we could be doing better. I would also add the double whammy that we take, the internal service fund that I mentioned earlier. So that's kind of the shared pool to support legal, BCC, finance, all those various departments. All the departments pay a ISF rate. And in Public Works' case, we're about 12% of the entire ISF ask. And It's well worth it. You know, it's not. It would make no sense for every department to have their own attorney, to have their own finance department, those sorts of things. But just to pick big numbers to make the math easy, if the three commissioners' fully burdened salaries are $500,000 between them, Public Works would pay about 12% of that. So that's $60,000 a year. I want to tell you and all your listeners very clearly, they made work harder for every department. If things get done, it's in spite of them. Occasionally, you will have broader, big picture ideas that are brought forward by commissioners. Dan DeYoung was great about those sorts of things. I didn't see eye to eye with John West, Herman Bearchicker. They would bring bigger picture ideas. This board does not do that. They are community chalkboards who just repeat out nonsensical things that really don't move the county ball forward. But again, so Public Works case, we're paying $60,000 for what is gross mismanagement every year.
All right. Joe, does it answer any of your questions or comments?
It sure does. Thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Rob. Keep it going.
See ya.
Okay. Let me see. We're about 9 minutes after nine. Let's continue here. Rob, I didn't know if we wanted to bring this up or not, but I'm going to throw this out there because there's one name that has been bandied about throughout this that has really gone into the backwoods, certainly not out in the forefront anymore. Mr. Sellers, how much did he have to do with it, in your opinion, or do you have anything definitive to say about his involvement here or the situation where they were talking about using him as a county manager?
I did not have a lot of direct interactions with Mike Sellers. The primary spot was in when they had the vehicle GPSs that were put on cars. For some reason, it was decided that should run through information technology and not county fleet. I still have not figured that one out to this day. That was about the extent of my direct involvement with him. I do know that he had that at least interim title of director of operations. I, to this day, don't know what that meant. A lot of us went to the county website to look it up. That job description never existed. I'm not sure what it even meant. As far as what happens behind closed doors, I'm not privy to that stuff. But there was a lot of times where the word "we" was used by Mr. Black, and I'm not sure who "we" meant.
All right. We have another phone call coming in. Good morning. You have a question or comment for our guest today?
Yeah. I'm a definite supporter of Rob Brandis, and I just had a question. A couple of years ago, a commissioner in open session stated that they needed 500 jet operations a year at the Grants Pass Airport to qualify for an FAA grant to extend the runway. And he also said that Dutch Bros would substitute jet planes for prop planes to be able to qualify. And in my opinion, that was a collusion to defraud the FAA to get the grant. I didn't know if, Rob, can you comment on what actually is going on at the airport and the $3 million loan to them by the county?
I have not heard that particular threshold to get the FAA money. It would make sense, I guess, at some level if the FAA had a prove it, if you will, that said, hey, we're not going to fund that unless you can show a certain number of economic activity generated. As far as the $3 million loan for the airport, I can't add a whole lot beyond, Mr. Goodwin made a good point at business session last week that, you know, this is not only a $3 million loan, but interest-free as far as I know. And at 4% a year, that's not a small amount of money coming from the general fund. Will it generate that kind of economic activity? I don't know. I'm not at the airport very often, but it does seem like a moderate expenditure. It's a shame that Paradise Ranch didn't come off. That probably would have funded a whole lot of this stuff.
All right. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. We appreciate that. All right. Moving forward, what's your next step here, Rob? Go off in retirement here soon? Or?
Right. I am working for Gold Hill this summer, actually. Lily Morgan called me up, and she says, hey, do you want a gig for the summer? I said, yeah, why not? That sounds fun. So I'm working half-time down there. It's actually been kind of nice. This could be the last summer that both my kids are home, so we've been kind of relaxing as a family and recouping and recovering. But, yeah, it's been great down there. I'm able to help her with some bigger picture stuff because they're about three people deep across the whole operation. So once that completes, I will be back here locally causing trouble in other areas. I'm not going anywhere.
So you're no longer part of the deep state. But
right.
As a matter of fact, how efficient is the county now in your opinion?
Since all the departures?
Yes.
It's really tough to gauge. You can easily cite a number and say, hey, we got rid of this person, we saved $1,000, but it's not that black and white. When I spoke to the courier a few weeks back, the tough to quantify part is what's the cost of not having turnover, of missing grant opportunities, of not having claims, those sorts of things. I would guess that I had the lowest turnover rate at Public Works countywide during my tenure. Just having, you know, two more turnovers a year, there's a cost. The industry standard says, you know, when you lose an employee, you lose 6 months of salary just by the uptake, you know, get somebody new on board, get them plugged in and all that. That's a huge savings. I've probably brought in, shepherded $15 to $20 million of grants in my timeline. So besides the immediate impact of that, again, you're right back to that ISF fund. So a chunk, 10% of that went right to supporting the county general fund. That gets lost a lot of times where all these departments busting our butts to bring in outside money. That is outside money. You can say it's federal, but it's coming from outside. Comes back in. That helps float the broader county boat.
All right. Next step for you right now. Of course, you're employed. Yep. Are you going to be involved in anything with the county at all?
I am happy to offer my services for, you know, there's lots of advisory committees, the bikeways, walkways committees. I was a liaison for that for probably 15 years. I would love to sit on that as a private citizen. The Rogue Valley Area Commission on Transportation, they've got three citizen spots. Be happy to do that. I still have a lot to offer. I'm going to be in the area. If I do that, it'll keep me off the streets, and I can still use my knowledge to hopefully move some of those projects and groups forward.
All right. What do you recommend the citizens do right now in terms of county watching? You talked about attendance to the Board of Commissioners business sessions.
Yep. I really think that's the key. It's watching those agendas. Look for items that interest you. It can be tough because it does get deep inside baseball at times. You know, Jim and I can talk about this very quickly off the cuff, and even you at times are saying, wait, now who's they? Because we just lived it for so long. It's, you know, you kind of get that feel and that flow. But I think folks should really pay attention to the agendas. If there's items they're interested in, listen to it. Make note of how it was posted, what actually came of it. Don't get wrapped up in the social media stuff either. We know that there's a bevy of false sites. Some of them are being promoted by commissioners to self-reinforce these news stories that are quite literally made up chat GPT type stories. Ask for specifics. Just saying we're out there, we're transparent. No, it's not. I want specifics. I want to know what you're doing to move this valley forward, not just waving your hands around. What are you doing as a commissioner to consolidate the bigger picture of all the departments that are working below you?
In your opinion, what are the commissioners doing right now?
Quite frankly, very little. The budget process was a mess, started too late. We ended up with lousy budget options. They should be asking a lot more questions of knowledgeable folks. You've got two guys in that are brand new and a third guy that's been appointed twice. They had not been through a budget cycle, and for us to end up that far behind the eight ball is absolutely inexcusable.
Best way out of this?
Elect better candidates.
Well, all right, I want to take this opportunity to say right now, because we've kind of thrown the county commissioners under the bus here, but we will make equal time available should they request it. We do have them scheduled to appear here on the fourth Tuesday of the month. I think that's going to be August 26th. So they're certainly welcome then. And if they wanted to make a direct rebuttal here, we would make that equal time available. All right, just making sure that everything is fair here.
Sure.
Because this has been designed as a non-adversarial situation, but a sharing of information and asking some of the tough questions that needed to be asked.
Yep.
So is there anything that we need to add to this? Is there a question I need to ask and haven't?
I think the only big lingering one out there that you and I talked about at the break a bit was the fact of this, the two abdicating power to Mr. Bleck. Not only did that show a complete disinterest in doing their job correctly, I personally believe it went against the charter. For those of you interested, go look up the charter, section 17.5. That deals with the appointment, the promotion, the consolidation, all those things of department heads. And it clearly says the elimination or addition of any department or exempt personnel as deemed necessary by the board through a majority vote. Below that, the last subsection of that says no administrative order, policy, or other action by the board or any agent or agency employee thereof shall be made that interferes with this in any way. So effectively it says you cannot do anything that abridges that rule of the board by a majority vote. And that is exactly what was done, giving Mr. Bleck that power for 2 months, and he caused a lot of trouble in that 2 months.
So you're saying they violated the county charter?
without having gone to law school anywhere, I believe that. I know that there are attorneys looking into that.
That's your belief right now.
Yep.
Whether or not that's true or not, that's a fact that remains to be seen.
I will leave that to the legal minds, yep.
Okay, so that's something to look at. So if folks want to access the county charter, it's certainly available online. Mm-hmm. You can go there and find it easily on the Josephine County website. Is there any more to your story that we need to get out there, Rob?
Maybe ended on a good note. So last Thursday, I said, you know what? I didn't get a regular retirement party, and I don't need a retirement party, but I wanted to see the guys one more time. So I had ordered an ice cream truck, and I sent it out to Public Works, timed it with when everybody was getting off for the day. So I was able to see everybody one last time, have a gelato, and kind of, you know, put a bow on it.
We didn't get one here.
I should have sent you over.
all right. Well, just in full disclosure here that Rob and I have been acquaintances for a long time, classified as friends, although we don't exchange Christmas cards or anything like that. So want to be completely honest with you. Is there any place, anything else we need to go here? Rob, you tell me.
You know what? I think, Chuck, that we've hit the high points. I had a ton of notes here, and I appreciate you bearing with me there because I can't always recall all the high points.
Tell you what, if you want to review those, I've got some commercials that I need to play. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. We have about 6 minutes left here in our program, so there's still time for a call. If you want to jump into this, it's 541-472-1270, and as soon as you hear the sound of our voice coming back to the radio, that means that you're next in queue. So at any rate, is there anything that we need to go back to? What one thing does the public need to take away from today's program, in your mind?
I think, again, is to demand accountability. I've made the comment to several folks who ask that the last 6 months there have been more canceled, moved, changed BCC meetings than there have been in the previous 20 years. For the first 18, 19 years as I was department head, changing at WBS was a big deal. It meant a snowstorm. Two people flukily got sick the same time. It's now a regular occurrence to cancel them weeks at a time, move the dates. The noticing is the bare minimum. You know, it's 24 hours and 5 minutes just to get it out in time. That, to me, does not speak to transparency in any way, shape, or form. The fact that they're not notifying department heads of when agenda items are placed, as in my situation, all of this feels like trying to avoid any kind of accountability or public purview of actions being taken. And it's really reflected, I don't know if they think they've got this, kind of this tiger by the tail, but I can tell you the last 3 months, the number of local and even regional appointed officials and elected officials that have come to me, they basically, the short version is, what the bleep is going on over there? And that is not an exaggeration. I'm not going to name names and air people out, but it has been a long list. And I really kind of shrug my shoulders and say, I don't know. We're going to have to work this out. A community of 80,000 people, we've got to find a way to get elected officials that are responsive to what citizens need, whether it be a fire just here on the outskirts of town, finding a way to make a 4-H thing not turn into a food fight. Everything just really feels like it grinds down to politics and two sides, and that's insane. There's not enough at stake here that it comes to that. We're wasting a lot of time on those penny ante things, but man, we've got to find a way to pull together to get the bigger picture issues tackled.
Okay, well, thanks for sugarcoating it. All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the county commissioners are certainly welcome to request equal time. And once again, they are slated to reappear here August 26th, I believe, is the date. That is the fourth Tuesday of the month. That has been their normal show date here on KAJO Radio for years and years. And we believe that's still in place right now. So once again, business sessions every Thursday mornings now.
I think Thursdays now. I've lost track.
Okay. All right. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Rob Brandis, we want to thank you very much for your time today. And all of you listeners out there, we thank you for your time and hope that you'll stick around right here on KAJO 99.7 FM, 1270 on the AM band, and streamed all over the world on KAJO.com.